this kid talks about at home is Jazzy. He seems to have a crush on her, but he has a funny way of showing it.
I joked. Whatever are you getting at, Oak? He raised his brow.
I think you can draw your own conclusions there.
Feeling flush, I said, well, tonight had nothing to do with Rush's feelings or lack of feelings toward me. Tonight was 100% my fault. Blowing out a breath, I decided to tell him what happened. I assumed that Rush's mother was his date earlier, confronted him in anger upstairs, and said something really bad in front of her. I can't ever take it back, and I'm pretty sure he wants to kill me now.
Ouch. Okay, wow. Well, first of all, I suspect the boss wants to do a lot of things when it comes to you, Gia, but murder isn't one of them.
He laughed.
Anyway, how bad could it really be? What did you say that was so awful?
I shook my head. I can't even repeat it. Ironically, I was paraphrasing something he said to me privately. I want to throw up.
Well, let's back up for a second. The good news is, Melody is very down to earth. She probably laughed it off. She doesn't strike me as a prude. I'm sure Rush has explained the situation to her by now.
What situation? That he has a nut job working for him who yells out sexually explicit things in the middle of a crowded bar? In front of his mother?
Sexually explicit? Dang, sucks to be you.
Yeah, dang, it does.
I'm kidding,
he laughed. Sighing, I said, seriously, I don't even know what I would say to her if she were standing in front of me. His eyes gestured to behind my shoulders.
Well, now's your chance to find out.
What? I slowly turned to find Rush's mother standing there. My heart dropped. Oh, hello, Ms. Rushmore. Please call me Melody, Gia. She knew my name. Then again, Rush had yelled it out in a failed attempt to stop me from making a fool of myself. God, she was really pretty. Her shoulder-length light brown hair was colored ombre, blonder at the ends. Her blue eyes were glowing. She sort of reminded me of a young Goldie Hawn, and she was short, like me. It was weird to think that this little woman pushed a big guy like Rush out of her. Hello? I smiled awkwardly. Oak seemed amused.
Good to see you, Miss Melody. Looking beautiful tonight, as always.
She waved. Hi, Oak. He stood up like he was rearing to leave. That was not good, because he was the only buffer I had. Please don't go. Oak then slipped away, leaving me alone with Rush's mom. She was the first to speak after a brief moment of silence.
My son forbade me from coming to introduce myself to you, but unfortunately for him, he's not the boss of me.
Her smile definitely calmed me down. I'm really glad you came to find me. I didn't have the guts to do the same because I feel awful. Like, really mortified about what I said to him upstairs in front of you. That was so disrespectful and not language I typically use. I had no idea you were his mother. Quite honestly, you look way too young. I assumed you were his date and I was jealous.
Well, flattery will get you everywhere. She grinned.
I understand you were upset. No harm done. We've all said and done things in the heat of the moment. She smiled again, and I smiled back. Anyway, I can't tell you enough how much I regret my words. I'm sorry for making a scene.
I appreciate your apology, but it's really okay.
I looked around. Where's Rush?
He got caught up in some business. Something about a liquor delivery that was supposed to have been made before tomorrow, but it never showed up. I took advantage. Came and found you.
I hope you don't mind.
No, not at all.
Am I interrupting you at work? She asked.
No, my shift just ended, actually. It's closing time. My son explained everything to me, that you didn't know who I was and that he actually provoked your outburst earlier. I suppose I should be apologizing for his behavior toward you. It surprised me that Rush took any of the blame and that he had been so open with his mother. Still, it was me who made the scene out there. I made the decision to use that language in front of her. There was no way I was going to let this all fall on him. I take full responsibility for what I said. It's not like me to use such language so freely, especially in a public place and especially at my job. Sometimes things get heated between him and me. Your son, well, he's driving me a little crazy. Melody nodded in understanding. I don't envy you there. He's not an easy one to navigate, my Heathcliff. She closed her eyes briefly, then covered her mouth in laughter. I mean, Rush. Sorry, old habit. He'd kill me if he knew I just let that slip. It's okay. I know Heathcliff is his real name. She looked shocked. He told you? I got it out of him, yeah. Good for you. After a few seconds of awkward silence, I said, So, I'm out of luck, huh? She bobbed her head to the side. How do you mean? In the romance department? Your son's a lost cause? I didn't say that. When I say he's not an easy one, I just mean he's not easy to read. It's not always easy to get him to open up. My son has a big heart, but that's not something that people can figure out very easily about him. He's complicated, and it just takes a while to peel back his layers. I'm definitely learning that. Rush has learned a lot of tough lessons. He's been hurt by people who are supposed to love him. Even though he acts like he doesn't care about that, it's definitely had an effect on the way he lives his life, with his guard constantly up. I frowned. I know all about his dad. Yeah. She was examining my face. He's fond of you. My heart sped up. He said that? No, not in so many words. But he seemed very concerned that I would think negatively of you. It's not like him to talk to me at all about women he's friendly with. His personal life is just something he's always kept to himself. But he told me a little about you over dinner. Told me you're a writer.
He did?
Yes. That reminded me. By the way, I said, I want to thank you, actually. Rush once told me that when you get stuck in your art process, that you sometimes go to see a movie to break out of your funk. I actually tried that once and it worked. After that, I had one of the best writing days I'd had in a long time.
Oh, that's wonderful. Yes, that's one of my strategies for sure. I'm glad it worked for you, too.
Do you come visit him here at the Heights often? I haven't seen you here before, obviously.
I drive out here once every month or two.
Melody was delicate and soft-spoken, not at all like her son.
I wanted to capture the sunset over the ocean on canvas tonight.
You painted here tonight?
Yes. Rush set up my easel upstairs on the roof earlier.
That's so neat. Can I see what you made? She looked thrilled that I'd asked.
Sure.
I looked around nervously for Rush as I followed her up to the roof. She led me to a canvas painting that was leaning up against the wall in the corner. She held it up to show me.
It's not exactly perfect, but I'm happy with how it came out.
With blends of orange, purple, and yellow, she had beautifully captured the stunning colors of the evening sunset over the beach. Smudges of paint accurately portrayed the clouds in the sky. I couldn't begin to fathom how she'd made the ocean so realistic with a mix of green, blue, and white tones. It somehow looked like the water was moving across the canvas, coming into shore. My favorite part of the whole painting was a single and elaborately detailed seashell with brown and white lines drawn throughout. It was just laid out on the sand, which she'd meticulously painted in beige hues. Even though the shell was small, it seemed to be the focus to which all else served as the backdrop. This is so beautiful. I am seriously in awe that you have the ability to sit down and casually paint something so amazing on a whim. How long did it take you?
She placed the painting on the ground, leaning it against the table leg.
About an hour and a half. But you know, it's not always that easy for me. Maybe you go through this with your writing, but some days you're just on, right? You can feel the creativity oozing from your veins, and you just need to drop everything and take advantage while it's there. That's why I needed to come to the beach tonight.
Her eyes were filled with passion as she spoke about her art.
This woman is amazing.
I so get what you're saying, Melody, I said. I used to feel like that from time to time when I first got the idea for this book I'm writing. The first three chapters just poured out of me, very organically, like that. And then once I started to apply pressure on myself after I landed the publishing deal, nothing has been happening.
Rush said that you write in the romance genre.
Once again, I was surprised he'd gone into that much detail with her.
Yes, contemporary. Well, if I ever get going again, yeah. Nothing like pressure to hinder creativity. I can relate. A few of my pieces have been commissioned in the past. There's definitely a difference between creating something out of your own free will versus obligation.
Exactly.
You'll find your way. Your inspiration, Gia. It will happen.
Can I keep her?
Thank you. I hope so.
We stood there, just staring at each other momentarily. If I didn't know better, I'd think she really liked me, too. I wasn't ready to let her go. Melody Rushmore fascinated me. The words just fell out of me.
I would love to see more of your paintings sometime.
I hoped I wasn't being too forward as I anticipated her response.
Well, you're welcome down to my house whenever you like. I have a studio there filled with art.
Honestly, I would really love that. Rush came up behind me.
What's this now?
He reeked of smoke. My pulse raced. I couldn't gauge his reaction to my hanging out with his mom, but I played it cool.
You're taking me to see your mom's studio. I want to see her paintings. All of them.
His brow lifted as if to challenge that.
Is that right?
I crossed my arms.
Yep.
If I'd known you two were conferring, I would have hurried my ass up, he said.
His mother was grinning at him.
Gia and I have a lot in common.
Yeah, you're both pains in my ass,
he teased, winking at Melody. She must have been used to his sarcasm because she didn't react to that statement. I was relieved that he didn't seem too mad anymore.
Are you heading back home tonight? I asked her.
No, I'm staying for a couple of nights.
We go to her favorite pancake breakfast place every year when she comes out for her birthday weekend,
Rush said. I turned to her.
Tomorrow is your birthday.
It's today, actually.
Oh my gosh, happy birthday.
Thank you. Rush had the chef make a special dinner for me. Salmon Oscar.
It was very yummy.
It warmed my heart how protective and sweet he was being toward his mom. I really loved this side of Rush, if only he wasn't an insensitive prick the other half of the time. He reached into his pocket and handed his mother a key.
Here, take this and let yourself in.
She asked him,
Are you coming home tonight?
Apparently, she knew her son enough to know that there was a chance he wouldn't be coming home. Probably figured he'd be staying at some skank's apartment.
Yeah, I'm just gonna finish up some things here. I'll meet you back at the house. You can leave your art stuff here. I'll pack it all into my car and take it home.
Thank you. Sounds good. I'm kind of looking forward to taking a hot bath.
She turned and offered me a hug.
Gia, it was an absolute pleasure meeting you. You let me know when you'd like to come for a visit. I'll put on a pot of tea and block out the afternoon.
Embracing her, I said, That sounds wonderful, Melody. Thank you, I plan on it.
It was so great meeting you. She started walking away, then stopped.
Actually, would you like to keep the painting I made tonight? I have so many, I can't keep them all.
Oh my God, I would love to. Are you sure?
Totally. I would love for you to have it.
She walked over to where it was and handed it to me.
Thank you so much, Melody. Seriously, this really made my night. I'm going to hang this up in my room.
I watched as she headed toward the stairs and disappeared. It was after closing, and Rush and I were now alone on the rooftop. I held the painting in my hands, looking down at it.
Your mother is amazing.
She is.
I placed the painting on a table, then looked up at Rush for several seconds.
What?
He asked.
You're looking at me funny.
It's nothing.
Let me guess. You're wondering how, with my black heart and temper, I can be so different from the kind and gentle, zen-filled soul that my mother is.
I didn't say that. I laughed.
You were thinking it.
No, I wasn't thinking that exactly, because I actually do think you're kind, too. Now I know where you get it from. That side of you. You've shown kindness to me. You just have a way of ruining it sometimes.
I paused. I want you to know that I apologized to your mother for my behavior earlier. And now I'm apologizing to you.
It's fine. You know, you only traumatized her because now she thinks her precious son is a butt burglar.
I burst into laughter. Oh my God, butt burglar?
Yeah, she's gonna have nightmares now.
He winked. You're crazy. We were both cracking up. At least he didn't hate me anymore. When the laughter died down, he said,
I'm sorry I lost control outside earlier.
I squinted at him. No, you're not.
You're right. I'd probably say that shit to you all over again.
I figured.
You made me mad talking to that pansy-ass bartender. I lost my mind a little.
Well, if you don't want to be with me, you have to get used to seeing stuff like that.
Doesn't mean I have to like it, especially when it's being thrown in front of me in my place of business.
Not wanting to get into it with him right now, I expelled a breath. Can we just forget this entire night ever happened? Well, except for the part where I met your cool mother. He surprised me when he said,
Yeah, we can do that.
Rush made his way over to the bar.
You want a nightcap?
I'm driving home. I have Riley's car tonight, so I shouldn't drink. He ignored me, grabbing a glass anyway.
I'll limit you to one, and I'll make it weak.
What's the catch tonight? What expletive do I have to say to earn my free drink?
Babe, you alluded to ass-fucking in front of my mom. I would say you're absolved for a while.
A shiver ran down my spine, and I couldn't figure out if it was because of my embarrassment or the fact that he'd called me babe. I covered my mouth. Oh my God. Did tonight really happen?
Afraid it did.
I watched in silence as he made some fruit concoction before slipping a little umbrella inside and sliding the glass toward me. Taking a sip, I thought a bit more about how I immediately took to Melody. Life is funny. He cocked a brow.
Funny?
Yeah. I was just thinking about how we've both sort of experienced similar but opposite life situations. I have a great dad and no mother, and you have an awesome mom and no father. Well, you have a father, but you know what I mean. He leaned into the bar and closed his eyes briefly.
Yeah, unfortunately. I do know what you mean.
Anyway, it's sort of something we have in common. When I was talking to your mom tonight, I found myself oddly envious of you, thinking that I would give anything to have a mother like her. Then I had to remind myself that you're missing something too. Rush had been wiping the bar down, but stopped and just looked at me. I continued. Anyway, I don't even know why I'm saying this to you right now. It's just...
I had the same thought when I met your dad.
It surprised me to hear him admit that. Really?
Yeah. I remember thinking that I wouldn't have minded a cool cat like that for a father. So you're not crazy. It's natural to feel envious. Sometimes you don't realize what you're missing until you see it right in front of you.
Yeah, exactly. He'd articulated my exact sentiments. You're a complex soul, Rush. I really wished I could have hung out here all night with him. Catching myself falling hard again when I was supposed to be working on getting over him, I suddenly forced myself up. I really better get going. Rush came around from behind the bar and stopped right in front of me.
Be careful on the road.
He was uncomfortably close, and his scent, the mixture of cigarettes and his signature cologne, was making me weak. It reminded me of the night he spent in my bed. I was supposed to be leaving, but I hadn't moved. My nipples were tingling, and I had the sudden urge to answer his question from earlier. I've never had anyone come in through my back door, but I would be open to it with the right person. Very open. Before I could capture his reaction, I slipped past him and headed for the stairs.
Chapter 12. I went to bed hard. I woke up hard. I was totally fucked. There was no talking my dick down after those words exited Gia's mouth last night. Very open. Fuck me. I needed to get myself in check before I had to go to breakfast with my mother. After yet another jerk-off session in a long cold shower, I finally made my way downstairs. I didn't even normally love jerking off. I much preferred being inside of an actual woman, but jerking off to thoughts of anal sex with Gia, well, that was just about the best I was going to get aside from the real thing. Mom was waiting for me in the kitchen when I finally emerged. Good morning, sleepyhead. Morning, Ma, I said, pouring some of the coffee she'd made. I wasn't sure if you were ever coming down. Yeah, I slept in. We should go eat. I'm starving. Starving for Gia's ass. Actually, I wanted to wait for you to come down, but I can't go to breakfast. I have to get back home. I completely forgot my new couch is getting delivered this afternoon. Oh, well, that sucks. Why don't you call Gia? Ask her to go to breakfast. I really like her. Ma, sit down, Heathcliff. Fuck. My mother sitting me down and calling me by my given name was never a good sign. The last time she'd had me sit for a little one-on-one was when I was 17 and she told me our dog died. I pulled the chair out and planted my ass in it anyway. You know I rarely poke my nose into your private business. And after last night's ass debauchery, I figured it would stay that way. I know. You don't talk about women. In fact, pretty much the only time I even laid eyes on the women you met was when I saw them climbing out of your bedroom window in the middle of the night when you were a teenager. My eyes widened. You knew about that? She laughed. Of course. And the water you filled my liquor bottles with to replace the alcohol you'd stolen, and the first tattoo you got at 16 but didn't show me until you were 18, and all the times you rolled my car out of the driveway and borrowed it for the evening when I'd taken away your privileges for coming home late. By the way, I do appreciate you filling up the tank each time after you stole it. I shook my head. How come you never said anything about all that shit? Because it's all part of growing up, sweetheart. I kept my eye on you from a distance to make sure you weren't going overboard or getting yourself into too much trouble. But I needed to let you live a little and experiment while you were under my roof. If you didn't start raising hell until you moved out, there would be no one to watch you. It's like those kids who drink for the first time when they go off to college. They're the ones who get hurt more than the kids who have experimented and learned their lessons already at home. Well, I'm not sure what to say. I'm sorry, I guess, for bringing girls home and being rotten. My mother smiled. That's not necessary. The point of bringing this up to you now wasn't to make you feel bad or to have you apologize. It's to show you that while you might think you're hiding things from me, you're not always as good at it as you think. I'm not following you, Ma. She reached over and patted my hand. You have feelings for Gia, and she has them for you, strong ones. I raked a hand through my hair. She's not a casual I caught myself just in time. She's not someone you have a good time with and walk away from without hurting, Ma. So why do you need to walk away and hurt her? I opened my mouth to answer and realized I honestly didn't have one to give. My mother offered me a sad smile. Sweetheart, sometimes the risk of what bad things could happen keeps us from experiencing all the good things life has to offer. My mother wasn't the type of person to throw out advice lightly. The best parts of me were the things that I learned by watching how she acted. So I contemplated what she'd said for a few minutes. I wanted to be with Gia, and not in the normal way I wanted to be with women, which usually capped out at a meal and a few hours in bed. I wanted to sit around and talk to her. I wanted to take her to my mother's to watch the way her eyes lit up when she looked at the paintings for the first time. Of course, I was also borderline obsessed with being inside her, not just getting her off and finishing myself off either. I wanted to fill every orifice of that damn woman. A few days ago, I dreamt of fucking that ballsy mouth of hers. Apparently yesterday it was ass day. So why wasn't I giving being together a chance? There was only one answer, and I didn't like it very much at all. I'm fucking afraid. Coming to that realization, I looked up at my mother, who'd been sitting there quietly, just sipping her tea and waiting for me. Her eyes searched my face before she spoke again. When you're afraid to fall in love with someone, it's usually because you've already started to fall, sweetheart. And here I thought I was so slick all these years, keeping everything from my mother. I shook my head again. Have you always been such a philosopher, and I didn't see it? She laughed. Some of the best philosophers on love failed at love themselves, you know. That broke my heart to hear my mother say. I knew my father had fucked her over, but I never really questioned why she didn't have a boyfriend most of my growing up. This was already a strange talk. What the fuck? How come you never dated when I was growing up? She sighed. I actually really loved your father. He wasn't the person he is today when he was with me back then. At least he didn't seem to show me that side of him. Or I didn't want to see it. But I was blindsided when I found out he was married, and in that moment he revealed his true colors. It took me a long time to heal, and I was busy raising my beautiful son, working, painting. I used the excuse of being busy to justify not letting anyone in. You probably don't want to hear this, but I wasn't celibate all the years you were growing up, even though you never met anyone. You're right, I definitely don't want to hear that. She smiled. My outlook on relationships wasn't much better than yours is now. In fact, that's why it's so clear to me what's going on with you. It's like looking in the mirror at my life years ago in a lot of ways. And here you are giving me advice, even though you don't take it yourself. She got up and put her mug into the sink before sitting back down. Actually, I have taken my own advice. I've been seeing someone. My brows jumped. This was just getting fucking weird. Oh, yeah? His name is Jeff. He's an art gallery curator. We've been seeing each other for almost a year now. A year? Why haven't you ever mentioned him, or brought him with you on a visit? I don't know. I guess in the beginning I assumed it would be my typical relationship. I hadn't expected it to blossom so beautifully. Wow. Just wow. You're just opening up about everything today, aren't you? Mom laughed and stood. I took a close look at her for the first time in a long time. She looked really happy. I need to get going for my couch delivery. If I miss it, they'll charge me another delivery fee. Why don't you and Gia come in next week one day and have lunch? I'll show her my work, and then we can all go over to Jeff's gallery and check out the show he has on display and have some dinner. I think it's time you meet him. She walked to me, and I stood and enveloped her in a big hug. I had an ache in my chest when the thought that Gia didn't have a mother to do this with popped into my head. It made me want to share mine with her. I'll load your car for you. Watching Mom drive away, I waved one last time when I caught her looking back at me in the rearview mirror. I stood at the bottom of my driveway for a few minutes, just thinking. until it hit me. Had I just set up a double date with my mother and a woman I wasn't dating? I was fake repairing a car. This was a first. While I ignored my mother's suggestion of taking Gia to breakfast, I decided to use the day to pretend to fix Gia's car, the car I'd already fixed and never told her about. The car I'd repaired and then lost a bet to have a reason to do the repairs I'd already done. Anything that had to do with this woman wound up being a little fucking nutty for some reason. But here I was, with a Nissan jacked up in the air while I lay beneath it listening to music and pretending to do shit. I'd knocked on the door and gotten Gia's keys, feigning that they were necessary to fix the brakes and tire. Luckily, the combo of serious shit I talked about with my mother this morning and whacking off seemed to keep me from embarrassing myself when she answered the door groggy-eyed, wearing a skimpy pair of shorts and a tank top with no fucking bra on. I'd told her I'd come to pay my bet debt and needed to get started so I could head over to the construction site at one of my properties. But the truth was, the crew wasn't working on Saturday. I just wanted to head off her inviting me to stay or anything. My head was still spinning from my conversation with my mother, and I wasn't in the right frame of mind to spend time with Gia. About a half hour into my fake repair, I felt a tap at my leg, so I climbed out from under the car. Fuck me. I couldn't even attempt to hide the way I leered. Gia was standing next to the car, wearing a yellow bikini and holding what looked like two glasses of iced tea. Her ample tits were perky as all fuck, and the little bikini top barely covered her areolas. "What the hell are you wearing?" I finally growled. She looked down. "A bathing suit. It's beautiful out, so I'm going to lie out by the pool for an hour or two before starting to write." "That's not a bathing suit. Those are scraps of a bathing suit that someone shredded." She tilted her head. "Are you saying you don't like it? Do you wear that in public?" "Not usually. I only wear it in the yard because it's so skimpy, but it's perfect for tanning." "Good." I grabbed the tea from her hand without asking and chugged it down. Today was warm, but suddenly I was starting to sweat. "Thanks for the tea. You should go back into the yard before you get cited for indecent exposure." She narrowed her eyes at me. "You're a jerk." "Yes, I know that. You've made that clear, to me and my mother." She pouted. "Are you going to make me feel bad about that forever?" I grinned. "Probably." Gia stuck her tongue out at me. "God, I want to see that thing lick the head of my cock." I sat down on the driveway, readying to lie back and finish up my pretend repair. "Don't stick that thing out unless you plan to use it, little girl." "I'll be by the pool if you need me." I crawled back under the car. "Fine." Of course. That wasn't the end of it. This was Gia I was dealing with. "Rush?" I crawled back out. "What?" A sinful little smile spread across her face. "Just didn't want you to miss my walking back to the house. Considering your obsession with my ass lately." Before I could respond, she turned to walk away, revealing the backside of her bathing suit. Or more correctly, the lack of a backside to her bathing suit. Gia was wearing a thong bottom that revealed two perfectly round globes, and those babies were fucking taunting me as they jiggled their way up toward the house. "Jesus H. Christ," I grumbled to myself. I'd never given any thought to what the H stood for before, but at that point, with how he was testing my patience, I was pretty sure it was heartless. All done. I found Gia in the yard sunbathing. Of course she had to be lying on her stomach so I could get a closer look at her ass. It was fucking phenomenal. Like a chubby, upside-down heart from where I stood. I'd spent the last hour pretend fixing her car and picturing her riding me reverse cowgirl, those ass cheeks jiggling like fucking jello while she rode me hard. I had to force my eyes to her face and clear my throat to continue. "Here are your keys. Your rotors were shot, too. In the future, don't ride on bad brakes. It just turns a little problem into a big one." She shielded her eyes from the sun and twisted her neck to look up at me, still not flipping over to her stomach. "Oh, okay, thanks. Can I make you some lunch? It's the least I can do to repay you for hours of working on my car." Is that ass on the menu? No, I have to get going. She lifted from flat on her stomach to on her knees in a yoga-like pose, taking her sweet-ass time before turning over. Are you sure? She bit her bottom lip. You've had to have worked up an appetite. Is she fucking with me? I had an appetite, all right. I gotta run. I sounded like a broken record, yet here I still stood. My head wanted to get the fuck out of that yard, but my traitorous feet wouldn't move. Not even when she stood up, turned around, and practically rubbed her ass against me as she held up suntan lotion. Could you rub some sunscreen on my back before you go? I don't want to burn. No, sure. Thanks. I took the sunscreen and squeezed a glob of creamy white lotion into the palm of my hand. Swallowing hard, I began to rub it into her back. Her shoulders were warm and soft with the tiniest little layer of fuzz on it. It reminded me of a peach. My mouth salivated at the thought of biting into her. Could you do a little lower? My breathing became labored and my cock swelled as I lowered my hands and rubbed into the middle of her back. I was breaching into dangerous territory. Lower, she said. I knew from her breathy voice that I wasn't the only one aroused. I lowered to just above her bathing suit bottom and rubbed lotion all over. When I finished, she turned her head so I could see the side of her face and closed her eyes to whisper, lower. Fuck me. I couldn't stop myself. I reached for the creamy sunscreen and squeezed enough into my hand to cover a large person's full body and then began to rub it into her ass cheeks. She had the most unique, heart-shaped mole on her left side that was perfectly symmetrical. I ran my fingertips over it. When I trailed a pool of lotion to the top of her ass crack and slowly rubbed it in, tracing the material of her bathing suit in between her cheeks, she let out a low moan. More. Make more sounds like that. All I could think about was how I wanted to bend her over and fuck her from behind. I wanted to mark every inch of the perfect skin on her shoulders with my teeth while I tunneled so far inside of her that I'd never come out again. My heart raced out of control when she took a step back and pressed her body against mine. But I didn't want it this way. She wasn't some fuck you bent over in the yard before giving the neighbors a good show. Gia, my voice shook while I tried to stop what was 2 seconds away from happening. Luckily, a woman's voice broke through the haze of lust that mine couldn't crack, only it wasn't Gia's. Turning my head in a fog, I realized it was her roommate, Riley, who worked for me. Fuck. Sorry, I didn't realize anyone was with you, she yelled. On instinct, I jumped back. Riley disappeared into the house, and in the seconds that it took Gia to turn around, I snapped myself out of it. Sorry about that, she said. You ready to rub the rest in? I gotta go. It was the third time I'd said it, but this time I meant it. I practically tripped over the bottle of sunscreen at my feet trying to get the fuck out of there. Gia yelled, Rush! Wait! But I didn't stop until I was inside of my car. I had no idea why I was running away like a coward, but it felt like I was doing Gia a favor.
Chapter 13. Another day wasted. No writing, no plotting, nothing accomplished. And I had a burn on my ass from the hours I'd spent lying on my stomach waiting for Rush to walk into the yard. I'd never worn a thong bathing suit in my life, which was why my sun-virgin ass cheeks felt like they were on fire. When Rush showed up this morning, I'd snuck into Riley's room and grabbed one of her skimpy suits. I still couldn't believe I'd had the nerve to wear the thing. It barely covered my breasts and exposed my entire ass. But not even practically throwing myself at him naked worked. It made me feel depressed and more than a little angry. Riley noticed and came to sit with me on the couch. Spill your guts, Four Eyes. I switched sitting positions for the millionth time today, leaning more on my left hip than the burn, and pushed my glasses up onto my head. I have no idea how you wear that bathing suit. My ass is fried to a crisp. Oh, no, you don't. You're not avoiding this conversation anymore by blaming your depressing face on a burned ass.
What do you mean? She shot me a look that said, no more bullshitting me.
What's going on with you and the boss? I saw him out there with you this morning rubbing lotion into your ass. It looked like he was about to squirt a different cream on you.
He came over to fix my car. I practically threw myself at him. Again, but nothing happened.
I honestly have no idea what you see in him. Well, aside from the obvious, that he's fucking hot, but he's such a douche.
I shook my head. He's not, really. Not once you get to know him. I think it's his way of keeping people at a distance. He definitely doesn't let people in easily.
But he let you in.
I think so. Yes. We have a connection. I know he's attracted to me, and I'm most definitely attracted to him. But it's more than that. Although none of that does me any good because he won't let anything happen between us physically, no matter how hard I try.
I don't get it.
Riley pointed a finger.
You just answered your own question.
What are you talking about?
You said you two have a connection that's more than physical.
So?
That's the problem.
I'm not following.
A guy like Rush is a love 'em and leave 'em type of guy. I've worked at the Heights for 3 years.
He has a certain type that he goes out with. I rolled my eyes.
Yes, hoary. I've seen a few stop in. There's a reason he only gets involved with a certain type of woman.
What is it? Riley laughed.
I don't know, but you probably do if you've gotten close like you said.
She shrugged.
Maybe an ex burned him.
I don't think he's had any long-term relationships.
Okay.
She tapped her finger to her lip.
It's not a relationship that someone is usually afraid of. It's a bad relationship. And that usually comes from something in their life, like an ex. But maybe it's something different.
His father. And how his father treated his mother. That could have given him a negative outlook for sure. But I didn't want to discuss Rush's private business with Riley, even though I considered her a good friend.
I'm not sure. But if that's the case, and he avoids relationships because of something in his life, how would I even get past that?
Riley tossed a throw pillow she had been holding on her lap at me.
You don't, silly. You give him what he thinks he wants, and let the relationship happen naturally. Tell him you just want a fuck buddy for the summer. Set his mind at ease that he doesn't need to worry about the relationship part. Start humping each other, and if it's meant to be, the rest will just fall into place. And he won't even realize it until it's too late.
I don't know. That sounds like someone could get hurt.
Yes! You! If, after your fuck buddy time is over, he breaks it off, of course you're going to be hurt. But what do you have now? A weird friendship and celibacy?
Look, when you leave after the summer is over, you're going to be crushed if he doesn't want to keep in touch, right? So why not have a bang in summer, pun intended, if you're going to be sulking in September anyway? I suppose she had a point. There was just one problem. But Rush doesn't see me that way.
So make him see you that way.
How?
How long until you have to work?
I looked at my phone.
About an hour and a half?
Riley stood.
Come on! That's not a lot of time to turn your nice ass into a whore.
I felt like the pink ladies had just turned me into sexy Sandy from Greece. Getting out of my car, I looked down at my outfit one last time and took a deep breath. Red, low-cut shirt, short skirt, and heels that I doubted I could last an hour in, no less working all night. Riley had added a ton of body to my naturally wavy hair and done my makeup with all that contour stuff that I see people doing on YouTube but never bothered to try out. I glanced at my reflection in the window as I walked toward the door. I looked good. Sexy, in a slutty kind of way. Definitely more like the women Rush went out with. Oak whistled and opened the door.
Looking good, Gia.
I blushed, but his comment actually helped my confidence level a little.
Thank you. Inside, I looked around, and a rush of relief washed over me, finding no sign of the boss. Dressing for the part was only half the plan. I needed to actually cough up the courage to approach Rush and offer him, well, my body. I threw myself into my usual prep before dinner, going over the reservations, checking in with the kitchen on what the specials are so that I knew them when people called and asked. They always called ahead and asked, bringing the bar's extra bottles of whatever liquor was in the drink special of the evening and helping the busboys set up the tables. I'd been there about an hour, with no sign of Rush still. It lulled me into feeling at ease, thinking maybe he wouldn't show up tonight and I wouldn't have the chance to make my proposal to him. Which was why when I opened the door to the back office to put one of the cordless phones on the charger, I didn't expect anyone to be inside. I jumped, finding Rush. His desk was unusually clear, and he was sitting there staring off into space. Rush, sorry, I didn't think you were here yet. His eyes made a slow sweep down my body and an even slower ascent. They snagged on my abundant cleavage on display for long seconds before his gaze met mine.
All dressed up tonight for a reason.
Shit. He just handed me the perfect opportunity to open the door. I swallowed and tried not to squirm. Yes? Rush's eyes narrowed.
Date?
Maybe. His stare was intense.
Who's the lucky guy?
My pulse started to race. It was about to happen. Don't chicken out, Gia. Don't be a chicken shit all your life. Rush stood from his desk and walked around it. The office wasn't very big to begin with, but having him 2 feet away while I said what I wanted to say made it feel like the walls were closing in on me. He folded his arms, and his jaw ticked.
Who'd you put that slutty outfit on for, Gia?
I looked down at my feet, took a deep breath, and then met his gaze head on. You. I wore this outfit for you. Rush took a step closer. His face was hard, not giving anything away.
You like to wear skimpy things for me, don't you?
I nodded.
You like to tease me?
My palms started to sweat. No. Well, yes, but I don't want to tease you anymore. He tilted his head.
You're done teasing me.
Yes.
But you wore that outfit anyway.
Yes.
You don't understand the definition of teasing, then?
Spit it out, Gia. Spit it out. I took one last deep breath. I was either going to hyperventilate or get through this. Teasing is when you provoke someone with no intention of following through. I looked into his eyes. I'd like to follow through. I think you and me, we should have sex. Now that I'd popped the cork off the bottle, words started to pour out of me. You don't do relationships. We're obviously attracted to each other. Sometimes we get along, although sometimes we fight, too. But it's summer, and, you know, we both have needs, so why not just be fuck buddies? I cringed after that last part I said, thinking I sounded like a whore. Or Riley. Well, Riley did sleep around a lot, but that was beside the point. Now I couldn't stop the rambling in my head, much less the rambling of my mouth. Great. Just great. Rush arched a brow.
Fuck buddies.
I pinched my come-fuck-me red-painted lips shut and nodded.
You only want to fuck me, then. Nothing more.
I nodded.
I see.
He stared at me.
Let me get this straight, so we're clear. You don't want to date me.
No.
But you want to fuck me.
Yes.
So I could say, pop over to your place after work anytime I wanted and maybe eat you out.
I swallowed. Yes.
And maybe sometimes you'd give me a blowjob.
Sure.
And I could leave after sex was over. No snuggling or niceties required.
That's right. His damn face was so stoic, I had no clue what was going on in that head of his. After another minute-long, intense stare that I almost crumbled under, he walked back behind his desk and took a seat.
How long do I have?
Pardon?
To decide and give you my answer to your proposal.
Oh. I hadn't thought that far, but I couldn't torture myself forever. I straightened my spine. By the end of the night. Rush picked up a pen and pulled a piece of paper from a neat pile on the corner of his desk. Beginning to read, he grumbled without looking up.
Go back to fucking work, Gia.
The rest of that night was tense, to say the least. I'd catch Rush staring at me while I worked. He wasn't flirting or anything. In fact, he looked more pissed as the night wore on. It was impossible to know what he was thinking. Unable to concentrate, I was making mistakes left and right, forgetting to bring menus to the table or leading people to the wrong sections. All of this, of course, under Rush's watchful eye. The realization of what I'd done was starting to hit me. Why had I gotten dressed up like this? The man had officially driven me to act crazy. I'd made a fool of myself in front of him, thrown myself at him. That was never the answer to getting a man to want you. That was the opposite of what someone should do. I'd gotten myself glammed up, made myself look like a slut, even though deep down I knew his attraction to me was never the issue. It was that he didn't want to be with me. Period. He liked messing with me, flirting with me, pushing the limits, but he didn't actually want to pull the trigger. If he did, it would have happened by now. I had mistaken his alpha male need to protect me for serious interest. I was dead wrong. The man had issues, and I was done being one of them. At one point, with about an hour left until closing, Rush brushed by me and said,
"Come to my office after your shift."
He walked away before I could respond, leaving the musky scent of cigarettes and cologne in his wake. Great. This was it. This was going to be the point where he gave me all of the reasons why he didn't want to pursue anything with me. He knew that I wasn't the sex-only type. We'd talked about that very fact, for Christ's sake. There was no tricking him. Besides, why would he bother with someone who was emotionally needy when he had beautiful women falling at his feet all of the time? Ones who truly only wanted the same thing he did. Just sex, not love. You're such a fool, Gia. After my shift ended, I kept putting off going to his office. He disappeared from the main area, so I assumed he might have been waiting for me back there. Maybe I'd ditch him and just go home. After all, I had a functioning car parked right outside now, thanks to him. There was no reason I had to put myself through the agony of hearing his rejection. I kept stalling until he finally marched down to the hostess area, looking more pissed off than ever.
"We closed a half hour ago. I thought I told you to meet me in my office. I've been waiting there for you."
Organizing some menus and no longer looking him in the eye, I said, "Yeah, well, I don't have to jump just because you tell me to."
"Gia,"
he barked. When I looked up, his eyes seared into mine.
"Get your ass in my office."
Rush stormed away, and I gave in, following him with my heart pounding. After shutting the door behind me, I folded my arms. "Okay? What?" Rush sat down and kicked his feet up on the desk. He began tapping a pen repeatedly before saying,
"I've been thinking about what you proposed earlier, and I don't think it's a good idea. I..."
"Stop!" I yelled. I was losing it. "Just stop. I don't need to hear this, okay? I already know what you're going to say. That you don't believe I really meant what I said about being friends with benefits. You'll never view me as a fuck buddy. Yada yada. Please, spare me. I don't need to sit through the explanation." His rolling chair banged against the back wall as he suddenly got up. After marching toward where I was standing, he stopped about a foot away from me.
"Will you let me finish?"
I backed away from him toward the door. "No. I don't want to talk about it. I acted like a fool throwing myself at you, and it never should have happened. You're right. I'm not the type of girl for you. I have dignity and self-respect, and I want more. So much more than to be your fuck toy. I don't care how attractive you are with all of that mysterious bad boy shit you have going on. In the end, you're a man who wants none of the same things that I do out of life.
Can I just...
No, I interrupted. I'm gonna go. Just as I turned around, I felt his hand grip my wrist. He flipped me around before backing me up against the door. I could feel his breath as he spoke close to my face.
You are so fucking stubborn. I should bend you over and smack your ass so hard for not letting me get a word in edgewise.
My nipples went erect upon that thought. I swallowed. See? This is what you do. You
shut up.
Before I could ream him out for telling me to shut up, his lips were on mine, swallowing up all of my unsaid, smart-ass comments. My legs nearly collapsed from the sheer power of his kiss. Rush's hands were buried in my hair as he pushed his tongue inside my mouth. I desperately met the rhythm of its thrusts. He tasted so damn good, like cigarettes and a taste all his own. I moaned into his mouth, unable to hide my desperation for more. My hands were now digging through his hair, pressing his lips deeper into mine. I couldn't get enough of his intoxicating taste. His scruff burned a little against my chin as he leaned his body farther into mine and continued to invade my mouth. He ran his hands from my hair all the way down my back until they landed on my ass. He squeezed it hard before unapologetically pushing his rigid cock against my abdomen. His low grumbles of pleasure were all I'd imagined them to be. I felt myself falling weaker and weaker the more he continued to devour my lips. My panties were now soaked, and I knew I was a goner if he tried to take me right then and there. Rush sucked on my bottom lip hard before suddenly ripping himself away. He looked pained as he panted.
We need to talk.
Chapter 14. Gia looked like I'd pissed in her Cheerios after I stopped the kiss. Pulling away from that was one of the hardest things I'd ever had to do. But we needed to have this discussion. Not to mention, I wasn't going to fuck her in my office. It was heading dangerously close to that scenario. A few more seconds of that kiss, and I wasn't sure if I would have been able to stop. She was gasping for air. What do you need to say? My dick was still hard as a rock as I said, if you had stopped talking for 2 seconds earlier, you'd realize that you were wrong about what you thought I was going to tell you tonight. Deep breath. I continued. I don't want to just fuck. I corrected my language because what I had to say was important. Don't want to just sleep with you. Letting out a breath, I pushed the rest of the words out. I think we should see where things go. Her jaw dropped. What are you getting at? Earlier, when you walked into my office all made up, looking like freaking Betty Boop, I was in the middle of thinking about this thing with us, trying to figure out my feelings. But there wasn't anything to figure out except that I've been in denial. I can't promise you anything, Gia. I can't promise that I'm not going to fuck this up royally, but I want to try. Her eyes widened in genuine surprise. You want more than just a casual fuck with me? I nodded. Yeah. Moving in, I wrapped my hands around her cheeks and rubbed some of the remaining lipstick away from her mouth. And you don't need all that shit on your face. You're so fucking beautiful without it. Next time you do that, I'm going to kiss it all off of you. Is that a challenge? A blush crept up her face. So, what do we do now? Where do we go from here? The concept of dating was so foreign to me. I couldn't remember the last time I'd taken a woman out on a formal date. The slower I took things with Gia, the less chance I had of screwing things up. That meant avoiding being alone with her for a while. You're off tomorrow night, right? I asked. Yeah. I'll come get you. She smirked. You're taking me out on a date. My heart started to palpitate at the thought. Look, I don't really know what I'm doing when it comes to dating. I haven't been on an actual date in a very long time. But yeah, I'll pick you up, take you out. Pick me up, take me out. That sounds a lot like a date to me, she teased.